ever wondered about how or if you can improve egg quality? Well, you can. NIDA truly supports women whether you're trying to conceive, pregnant, postpartum, and beyond. For those trying to conceive, NIDA's egg quality support is designed to support egg cell health as they develop into mature eggs. Improving your egg quality can support fertility outcomes. I highly recommend women who are thinking about having another baby in the next year or so learn more about egg quality and check out NIDA's line of fertility supplements, including their egg quality duo at thisisnida.com. Get up to 40% off NIDA's plans with code VBAC. That is VBAC.
Good morning. You are listening to the VBAC Link podcast, and I'm here today with Lauren, and I'm so excited to share her story with you today. I like have only read the highlight, the little Cliff Notes version, but let me tell you what, I am super excited. You guys know I love a crazy wild story, like an unexpected one that just goes not to plan and just completely kind of railroads you, not in a bad way though. Like, I don't like you being railroaded in. I'm sure you could probably say a lot about the birth, but we're going to let you tell that. I'm excited to hear it. We are also going to talk about doing research and being educated and informed and how to prep for different outcomes in your birth and what your primary desire is. And we'll do that at the end because you are in for a treat with this episode. We have Lauren here. She's from New Jersey and she has two boys, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and an amazing husband that she's been married to for 5 years. She says she loves being a mommy and she's passionate about all things birth and VBAC. And she hopes to inspire someone with her story the way so many VBAC Link episodes did for her. And I love that so much. But before we turn the time over to Lauren, I know you're just on the edge of your seats like I am. Like, I seriously can't wait to listen. I'm going to read a review of the week. And this review is from Apple Podcasts and it says, "Pregnant, you must listen. I am so thankful I came across this podcast. And I know it was an invaluable tool when educating myself regarding VBACs and the birthing process in general. My first son was born via cesarean due to his stubbornness and refusing to turn from his breech presentation. Leading up to my C-section, I was devastated that I wouldn't be able to experience the natural birthing process I had always wanted. I'm in the medical world and I knew about VBACs and it was never even a thought I wouldn't try for one with my next pregnancy. I found the VBAC Link halfway through my second pregnancy and it was so addicting. I listen to every episode, sometimes multiple times a day, until my delivery. Every woman's story was amazing and truly helpful to me personally. Thank you, Megan, for being passionate about VBACs and educating women all over the world. I can excitedly say that God was so gracious and I had my beautiful VBAC this past August. Thank you to every woman who shared your story on the podcast and for all the women who are listening and expecting a sweet baby. I'm cheering you on." And I love that. Isn't it so fun? Like, that. I just think it's really cool that we have this great community of people, like women supporting women all over the world. And how neat is that, that we're all here and we can all come together in this like mutual love of VBAC and education and information and autonomy. I just think it's really neat.
I actually wrote down that I just wanted to start by thanking you, Julie and Megan. Aww. And literally all of the women that went before me on this podcast, because I don't think like you will ever know the effect that this podcast has had on my life and my birth experience. And it's so crazy to be sitting here today.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Isn't it fun? Like, I remember this was years ago. Oh my gosh, we started in like 2018, I think. So it's been like 6 years now. And right? I think so. I don't know. Math is hard. I'm old. We just talked about this. Math is hard and I'm old and technology is hard. But anyways, I remember when we were first starting, like we had to like stalk people on Instagram and like reach out to see if they would possibly want to share their stories with us. And I remember the first time we had somebody that had listened to the podcast in prep for their VBAC. It was like the coolest thing. It was full circle moment. And it was just really, really neat to have that happen. And now we're 400 episodes in and crazy. It's just neat to see like how big it's gotten. And we appreciate you. We absolutely wouldn't be here without women like you. So we are very, very grateful to you as well.
Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after two C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
Thank you. But before we get too long and me talking on one of my tangents, because it's not about me today, I want to let you go ahead and take it away and share. I am literally cannot wait to hear
your story. Sure.
So, a little bit about it.
I will jump in. So yeah, for my first pregnancy, I found out that I was pregnant in November of 2020, and it was like a month before my first wedding anniversary. I really just had an easy pregnancy, to be honest. I loved being pregnant. Everything was like very straightforward. I honestly wouldn't have known that I was pregnant if I didn't take a positive pregnancy test, which was nice. You know, I never experienced the sickness or being tired or anything. And so I think that kind of set me up to just expect my birth to go the same way. I just assumed everything would be really smooth. I would go to the hospital, have a natural delivery, and that would really be it. So I did end up going into labor spontaneously at 39 weeks and one day. I was at a restaurant with my husband and some friends. And right as the appetizers came out, my water broke in the middle of this restaurant.
Oh my gosh. Like in the movies, right?
Literally like the movies. Yeah. Like, I don't know why I was still out and about at that point, knowing that I could go into labor at any minute, but I just didn't expect it to go down that way. And so it was just chaos. Like, everybody was running in different directions, trying to get the car, and it was a lot of fun. Everybody was really excited. So I called my doctor. He said to head to the hospital since my water had broke. And I got to the hospital around 10 o'clock at night. And I was 3 centimeters dilated when I got to the hospital. So I feel like I progressed pretty well throughout the night. I was already like 6 centimeters by the time it was like 2 a.m. And at that point, my contractions were really painful. I decided to get the epidural. After I got the epidural, I just had a ton of pressure. I couldn't move. My legs were like completely numb and I just felt super uncomfortable. You know, I didn't really sleep a lot. And then by like 5 or 6 in the morning, the nurses kept coming in to adjust the monitor that I had on my belly. And at first, like they were thinking that it kept falling off or something. And then it became apparent that the baby was having heart decelerations. So they had the hospitalist come in, the OB that was on call, and she placed an internal monitor. And as she was leaving, she kind of like nonchalantly said, you know, if this doesn't start looking better, then you're going in for a C-section. And at that moment, my stomach dropped because I just never pictured that being what my birth was going to be.
And I relate like, to so much. I relate really yeah. to so much of that. Like my pregnancy was super easy. It was great. I did not have C-section on my radar until he said C-section. Like it was a lot.
Right. And, you know, it was just like a punch to the gut and you're in the middle of it. You can't really process it. So my husband and my mom were there and they were like, you know, don't worry. You're going to be fine. Just everything's going to be fine. So my OB, they had called him. He came in and he checked me and I was actually at 10 centimeters by like 7 in the morning. So he was like, let's just start pushing and let's just like, you know, try to get things moving. So he had me start pushing and there was a lot of people in the room. I couldn't feel anything. I honestly didn't even know if I was doing it. And I kept like asking like around, like I was like, am I doing anything? And I think because of the heart decelerations, everybody was just so preoccupied. They like didn't hear me. And my doctor ended up checking me, and the baby hadn't dropped down. So at that point, he was like, we can't wait for the baby to drop down. And he's like, I have to call it here. We have to get you in right now for a C-section. So it was an emergency. And I just went from like thinking I was about to like push this baby out and have this like incredible moment to like being ripped away from my husband, ripped away from my mom. And I was just all of a sudden like in front of an anesthesiologist, like I was telling him, I'm so scared. I don't know what's happening. And he just said, like, don't worry, you are going to sleep and, you know, you'll wake up and meet your baby. So that is what ended up happening. I had an emergency C-section under general anesthesia, and I didn't meet Cole, my son, until like 2 hours later. I was super drowsy, super out of it. In the pictures, like, I think I put like a thumbs up, like to meeting him, which is just like not the reaction that you're expecting when you meet your baby. And my husband was like really, really worried about me, because there was just like 2 hours where they wouldn't tell him like what was going on with me. I guess I was still in surgery and stuff like that. So, you know, I always want my son Cole to know that it was still the best day of my life. I still was so happy. So I was instantly in love with him, soaking him all in. And then in the days and weeks, I think like after that, I started to process it, and I had to admit to myself, like, this did not go down the way that I wanted it to at all. You know, I had this moment in my head that, you know, I would have just pushed him out and I would have been so proud of myself and I would have got to put him on my chest. And like, what actually happened was so far from that. I didn't even get to witness him being born, which is, you know, obviously something that can be really upsetting. So when I was leaving the hospital, one of the nurses, who was very, very sweet, said to me, you know, next time you're a scheduled C-section, it's going to be so nice. You can plan childcare for your oldest son. You know, I know. And I was like, I almost felt
just over
like,
here rolling my eyes.
And I didn't know that there was like this once a C-section, always a C-section thing at that point. So I was like, wait, what? And I almost felt like at that moment, like I was already bummed about my next birth. Like I literally just had a baby like a couple days ago. And I was like, I'm already not excited to do this again. Like it was like very well, I think she meant well, but I was just like, oh my God, like, and now I have to do this again if I want to have another baby. So I had a very rough recovery. Thank God my husband had off a couple of weeks from work to like take care of me. I just had like, I felt like every issue, my feet were swollen, the scar was bothering me. I wanted to breastfeed. And after like a couple days of being home, I just threw in the towel. You know, it was too much. There was just so much healing going on with my body. And I was like, I really just can't take on like one more thing that is going to be, you know, painful and uncomfortable right now. We were having some issues. And so I didn't know at the time that you can't just decide out of nowhere that you're going to stop breastfeeding. So I ended up with mastitis because I tried to just like quit like out of nowhere. Then I had to get on antibiotics and I was allergic to those antibiotics. So we just had like a really, really rough first couple of weeks. And, you know, as happy as you are, you're just going through a lot physically and a lot emotionally. And it was really challenging. So it was actually around probably the first couple of weeks after he was born that I did find, you know, what a VBAC was. And I found the VBAC Link podcast. And I knew obviously being months out from having a baby that I wasn't ready to get pregnant again. But I was just like, okay, there's hope. There's hope for next time that I don't have to have another C-section. And I just really dove into researching VBAC as much as I possibly could, because I was like, you know what, next time, if there is a chance that it doesn't have to go down the same way, like that's what I want. I want it to be different.
Hey, mamas, we're going to take a quick moment to look a little deeper into egg quality. If I'm being super honest, it wasn't until I discovered Needed that I learned about ways to help our egg quality and that it was even important. Anyone with me? Well, I just want to give a shout out to Needed for bringing this information forward and understanding all that goes into having optimal health in fertility, birthing, and postpartum journeys. The Egg Quality Duo pairs two essential products, the Egg Quality Support and the COQ10 to support optimal egg quality. Together, they offer targeted, optimally dosed antioxidants to improve egg quality and support fertility outcomes. The egg quality is formulated by a perinatal health practitioners to help support you during your preconception period and conception. They're also nicely paired with Needed's complete plan. The VBAC link has a VIP code to get up to 40% off select plans. You can visit thisisneeded.com and type in VBAC, that is V-B-A-C, at checkout to get a special discount. They have fast shipping too, so you will be on your way to supporting your egg quality in no time. Let's take a moment to talk about Coterie wipes, because they're just as amazing as their diapers. These wipes are made from 100% plant-based fibers and are up to 30% larger than most other brands, making them perfect for even the messiest of situations. They're also hypoallergenic and dermatologist tested, so they're safe for newborns and even eczema-prone skin. One of our team members shared that these wipes have been a game changer, gentle enough for delicate skin, but durable enough to get the job done with fewer wipes. They've even earned the National Eczema Association's Seal of Acceptance. You guys, you can pair these with Coterie diapers for a high-performance diaper duo. And do not forget, you can get 20% off with code VBAC20 of your first order of $40 or more. Add a pack of these incredible wipes to your order to see the difference.
So, I found out that I was pregnant again in April of 2023 when my son was a little bit over a year and a half. And I also had a great pregnancy this time. I did have some morning sickness and I was super tired, probably because I had a toddler to take care of as well. But I was just now literally 24/7 listening to the VBAC link, like the review said, multiple episodes a day, probably. And, you know, I was literally in my car driving at points, just sobbing along with women that have been on the podcast that got their VBAC. I was never met these women before, but so happy for them. And it seemed like, I was like, wow, if that happened to me, all of my dreams would come true. I would literally be the happiest person on this planet. So the biggest part of my story is that my faith in God just was out of this world leading up to this birth, because I was, of course, I had doubts and I was scared, and I was inspired by stories that I had heard on the VBAC link and, other stories that I had read where women were saying pray about this, put this situation into God's hands and, let him handle it for you. So every single day I prayed. And I prayed for specific things about my birth. And, I over and over again prayed to God, I want to experience birth the way that you intended it to be. And my C-section just never felt natural to me. It always felt really invasive. And I was just dying to experience a natural birth. And so for my first appointment, I switched over doctors to Dr. Giovine, who is the doctor in my area of New Jersey to go to if you want to be back. And I ended up not finding out the sex of the baby. One of the reasons being, if I did end up having another C-section, I wanted that to just be something that I could look forward to at the time of the birth. And so we didn't know what Casey was. And yeah, the rest of my pregnancy was pretty uneventful until my 36-week appointment. So I went in, I saw Dr. Giovine. Everything was good with the baby. And then I left the doctor's office and I went to have breakfast with my toddler, Cole, who was 2 at the time. And when we were leaving the doctor's, the breakfast place, I actually ended up falling in the parking lot. So I just like lost my footing. I went flying forward and I didn't land on my stomach. I kind of put my hands out and like caught myself. But obviously being 8 months pregnant, I was like very shaken up. I was just laying on the floor. I was afraid that Cole was going to run off. And there was this woman in the parking lot. I swear she was an angel. And she came running over and like got down on the floor with us, stayed with us, you know, kind of like talked to me. She's like, I fell when I was 8 months pregnant too. Don't worry. Like, you're going to be fine. And so finally I was able to get up. I ended up going back to the doctor's office to see Dr. Giovine. Everything was fine, but you know, he told me you have to like be careful and let me know if anything feels off. So the next day I took my son to like meet Mickey Mouse and do this like Christmas event because it was December and everybody was like, you need to like stop going places. You need to stay home because, you know, you fell like you're 36 weeks pregnant. And I was like, I know, but I already had it booked. And so we went and we went to pick up groceries. I made dinner. And at this point, like in the afternoon, this was one day after I fell, I started to just feel this like intense pressure. And it wasn't a pain, but it was, now I know, it was probably like Casey's head dropping down. And it was just like, I just kept saying, there's just pressure. And it's like so weird. Every time I get up or sit down, like I felt it. So that night, after we put Cole to sleep, by like 8:30, I called my husband like into the bathroom and I'm like, I don't know. Now it's starting to feel like a pain, but like it's not consistent. I don't know what to do. So I ended up calling the doctor, and the doctor that was on call was, you know, said, why don't you take a shower, lay down and go to sleep, see if you can go to sleep, and then, you know, follow like the 5-1-1 rule. If you're having contractions for 5 minutes apart, lasting an hour for a minute, I think it is.
Yeah, 1 minute long. Okay. Wait, 5 minutes apart, 1 minute long for an hour.
For an hour. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, fine. So I ended up passing out, woke up again at like 4 a.m. The pressure was like 20 times worse now. And I felt a little bit of pain, still nothing to be timed. I kind of just like sat in the bathroom for a while, tried to go back to bed. And then at 5:45 in the morning was when, that was the first time I was like, okay, wait, I think now there is, it's a pain and it's consistent. Like it happened, it felt like almost 10 minutes ago and now another one happened. So that's when I first started saying like, okay, let me time these contractions. And so they were 12 minutes apart at that time. I told my husband, you know, we kind of got up and started getting ready. Around 6:30 now, I called my mom because she was going to stay with my toddler, Cole. And she was supposed to come anyway that day with my dad to have lunch. And I was like, you know what? Instead of lunch, can you come at like 9? Because, you know, I think that today is the day. And then I called my aunt, my mom's sister, who was actually going to be with me during labor. And I was like, hey, I think it's time. Can you like call out of work today? And she was like, absolutely. So then I was just kind of curling my hair, packing last minute stuff. And the contractions started to get really painful at this point. And I was at the point where I was having to breathe through them. And I was like asking my husband, like, can you hold my hand? It's getting really painful. So then I called my mom again at like 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Forget 9. Just come as soon as you can. Like just whatever you're wearing, whatever you're doing, just come. And then like I started to feel nauseous. So I started trying to like eat a piece of bread. My husband has a really funny picture of me just standing in my bedroom eating a piece of bread. Like just the most random thing. And finally, at like 7:45, I think it was, I called my doctor to say I'm coming because I had the app to time my contractions and it was just like going really fast. I'm like, I thought like this was supposed to take all day. All of a sudden, like my app started going off and it was saying like, go to the hospital. And I was like, go to the hospital. Like these just started not that long ago. Like, why is it saying go to the hospital? And my husband was starting to get a little bit anxious. He's like, all right, well, it told us to go. Let's go. So as soon as my mom showed up around now, it was like 8 o'clock. We said goodbye to Cole, got him out of his crib, and just got in the car. And when I got in the car, I just had this feeling of like, I don't want to get in this car. This is going to be very painful. Like, I kind of just wanted to go back in my house, but I knew that I couldn't. And now we started driving to the hospital. So the hospital is supposed to be 25 minutes away. And like, by the time we were driving for 5 minutes, the contractions were 2 minutes apart. And I was like, wait a second, I'm not even getting like a real break anymore. Like, what is going on? I think I threw the phone at that point. I'm like, forget like the timer. I'm just trying to get through this.
It's getting real now.
It was getting real. And then we got to a bridge that we were supposed to take to the hospital and it was closed.
Oh no.
And I was like, you have to be kidding me. So I told my husband, just go, just go through. And he tried to, there was no way to get through this bridge. Like everything was closed.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, you gotta be kidding me. So now my husband's like, all right, I'm just gonna reroute. And we start driving and I started to feel what I know from all of the VBAC Link episodes that I listened to, the fetal ejection reflex. And I was like, oh my God, my body is pushing this baby out right now.
No.
So I asked my husband to pull over and, you know, you can imagine his face just turned white. He was like, what?
No,
and
no.
I just said, you need to call 911. My body is pushing the baby out. And so he did. And he was like, okay, you know, let me call. And so I was kind of just like blocking it out at this point. At this point, I definitely was in transition. It was the most painful part of the entire experience. At this point, I was screaming, like I was in a lot of pain. And thankfully, after he called 911, the police responded in 2 minutes and EMS responded in 3 minutes.
Wow, that is fast.
Yeah, it was like, thank God. Like, thank God. Because, so at this point, I had taken my pants off. Like, just, I didn't care. And they actually opened the door of the car to try to get me out to my husband's pickup truck. And I just started screaming at them. I'm like, close the door, like, because I was in a contraction and I didn't want to be moved. So they actually outside of the car at that point were like, okay, let's wait until she's in between contractions and then we'll move her into the ambulance. So the second they saw that I had a break, they pulled me out of the car, got me onto a stretcher and put me into the ambulance. And at that point, I just looked around and I was like, this ambulance isn't driving anywhere. I'm having this baby here. Like, I just came to realization with like, it's not moving.
Yeah, we ain't going nowhere.
We're going nowhere. So they just prepared to deliver the baby. And I can't say enough amazing things about everybody who was in the ambulance that day. They like, you would have thought that they delivered babies every other day. They were so calm, aww, so confident, so professional. And I actually had like one of the EMTs, she was like right near me over here next to my head. And she was just like coach, like very gently coaching me through pushing. And I was like, okay, I really needed like a woman to be here with me and be coaching me like this. And like, it was just amazing. So she was like, you got this, you got this. I want to say I pushed twice, maybe three times, and he was out. He was out. That's so amazing. Yeah, we don't know his exact birth time, but we like kind of using context clues, we say it's 45. So exactly 3 hours from when I timed my first contraction.
Wow.
He was born. And my husband got to announce his gender, which was amazing.
That is
and
so
cool. My husband was just like crying. And oh. he was like, obviously I was crying because our baby was born. He was like, but I was also crying because like you got your V back. And my husband was, he was so supportive. Like from the second that I said, like, I don't want another C-section. I want to do this. He was always just like, you know, I trust you. I trust all this research that you're doing and you, nothing is going to stop you. You are going to get your V back. Like even when I had doubts and stuff, he was like, you're going to get it. Don't worry. And yeah, that moment was just exactly what I pictured it would be. I couldn't believe, like, I just had, like, I just kept saying God is good. And like, I just had thoughts like radiating through my head. Like I did it. I did it. I got the V back. I pushed this baby out. I didn't have to have another C-section. Like I just in that moment, I never felt as empowered and just like proud of myself. It was just the most amazing experience that I could have asked for in a V back. And, you know, a lot of people, when I tell them my story, are like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that you had to like do that. I'm like, no, don't be sorry. This was better than I could have ever dreamed of. This was the dream. And, you know, I got to go unmedicated, which I did not plan on. That was like, I never thought I could do it. I was like, oh no, I would have to get the epidural. I could never do that. And meanwhile, like I did end up doing it, obviously because I didn't have a choice, but I still did it. And yeah, I mean, it was just the most incredible experience. And I didn't have any fear, which was amazing. And that was like one of the things that I had prayed for too. You know, I really didn't want to have fear going into the birth and just throughout the birth. And, you know, although it was painful at times, it was never like a fearful experience. It was just amazing. Like really, really amazing.
Absolutely love that. Like what a dream. I think like, first of all, like a literal dream, like my dream is to document a car birth. I was going to plan a car birth, but my husband's like, I know. I'm not going to plan that. And I ended up having my 3 V backs at home anyway. So like, mm-hmm. I would have been dumb if I had a car birth. But I just think it's amazing and it's so cool. And I think it's just a testament to how strong our bodies really are. Like, granted, there is nuance and there are exceptions to that. And sometimes bodies struggle and need help, right? And that's why we're grateful for C-sections when they are truly life-saving, right? However, I just think that sometimes the medical field is so quick to just write off a woman's like inherent strength and the physiologic things that our bodies know how to do that it really breaks my heart. And I think that you're just a big testament to that. I absolutely love that you had your baby in the ambulance. I don't think I have ever heard a story of somebody having their baby in the ambulance like that. Like, I think that is the coolest thing ever. I wish I would have been there taking pictures. That would have been like amazing.
Oh my God, I know.
That would have been the coolest. But I just think that it's incredible and powerful. And how neat for your husband to be able to announce the gender, even in all of that. Like, and I just really, it really touched me when you said that he teared up because he was so proud of you getting your feedback and everything. Like, I think that's really, really neat and really powerful. Yeah. Like, what a cool supportive partner. And like, not everyone, like my husband's, well, he's done a lot of like emotional work recently, but before the last couple years, the only time I saw him cry was like at the end of like Avengers Endgame when like everyone's like whisking away. Like literally he cried. That's it. Not at our wedding, not when our babies were born, but no, somebody like Spider-Man wisps away, bye. Like he's gone apparently. I tell him every once in a while, like we're done having babies. My baby will be 7 the month that this airs. She turns 7. And like, we are like double done. I can't have babies. He can't have babies. Like we are not chancing anything after accidental pregnancy. But I told him like, I would really be curious to what his emotional response would be if I had a baby now compared to 7 years ago when he hadn't done all of this emotional work and stuff. So I think that that's really cool. I love it seeing a dad get emotional at birth. And I don't know, it just really touched me. when
yeah.
you said that.
And I think one of the parts that was obviously upsetting to me when I had my emergency C-section was the experience for him too, you know,
like
that was,
he probably didn't get allowed in there.
Yeah, no, he
didn't even know what happened for 2 hours.
Neither of us were there. Yeah. And, you know, he had to do a lot of things without me when Cole was born and I was still in surgery, which like is amazing.
Well, that's hard for him too, right?
Oh,
we don't
yeah.
talk about the trauma that dads get.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it almost felt like it was just, it meant just as much to me for him to get this experience as it did for myself, you know, as I was for myself. And, you know, we just have this story and this bond like forever. And, you know, even through my first birth and through my second birth, obviously both very wild tales to tell. I feel like it just brought us like even closer as husband and wife. And yeah.
I love that so much. I think that I really want to touch on something you said too about like how you were not fearful, like you were not fearful. And I feel like that's really an important part of prep. I think it's a good benefit of preparing and learning about birth and VBAC and everything like that, because then with the knowledge, like having that knowledge and trusting your intuition and being able to trust yourself, your environment, your partner, your provider, all of those things contribute to a fear-free experience.
Yes.
And when you know a lot, granted, you can't know everything about anything, and there might be things that come up that just are a struggle to deal with, but you didn't plan for having your baby in an ambulance, right? But you still do knew enough about the process. You listened to the stories. You learned as much as you could. You had a supportive partner. All of that contributed to your body's ability to trust the process and be free of fear. And let me tell you, the most painful feelings in birth happen when you're in a spot of fear or stress and tension, and that escalates the feeling of pain. And yes, it wasn't like I say with mine, I had 3 unmedicated VBACs that I planned and prepped for, but, and it wasn't easy. It didn't feel great. It was big, it was powerful, and it was a lot, but I did have the support. I had the education, I had the knowledge, and I had the trust and the faith that not only I trusted that everything would go well, but I also trusted that if things didn't go well, then I had the resources available to me to navigate and adjust and change course. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important part of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to talk about, speaking of preparation, I want to talk about different things you can do to prepare for your VBAC. Let's take it back to the basics. I feel like a lot of times we learn best with repetition. And so we are going to repeat these things a lot for you. We have a blog called How to Have a Successful VBAC, 15 Helpful Tips. And there's a blog. It's really, really long. There's lots of details, but I just kind of want to touch on some of the things you can do to prepare. And then I want to add my own little part of it at the end. So here are our successful VBAC tips. And this blog will also be linked in the show notes if you want to dig deeper. The first one is learn the facts, all of them. Find a supportive provider. Find a supportive provider. Hire a VBAC doula. Find the perfect birth location for you. Avoid induction if possible. Be patient. Process previous birth trauma. Let go of fear. Cha-ching. Create a birth plan. Stay healthy and fit. Surround yourself with people who believe in you. Chiropractic care, prenatal massage, pelvic floor massage, meditation, affirmation, and decide what's best for you. Now, you certainly don't have to do all of these things, but these are the things that are available to you, right? So lean into the things that feel right, that connect with you, the things that speak to you or that you feel appropriate. You don't have to do all the things. I know we say, like, we hear all the time that I didn't get vaginal birth. I did all the things. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to do all the things. Mm-hmm. Don't stress out your body. Don't stress out your mind by trying to cram in as much as you can, but also cram in all the things that feel right to you to prepare. I would add that, like, having a backup plan is great, a great option. You mentioned in your little guest form to plan to go, like looking to going unmedicated, even if you don't think you want that, because sometimes you don't have time. Sometimes epidurals don't work. You know, sometimes there's all these XYZ things that could change that make it harder or impossible to get an epidural. I'm in this spot where I feel like I have to, like, there's always exceptions, and I want to allow for that nuance, because sometimes you're going to have a super long labor, or or your baby's going to be a wonky position, or maybe you have, I don't know, dense adhesions breaking apart that makes it harder. Mm-hmm. But the epidural is a tool available to you. And there is, there are times that are appropriate to use it. And appropriate is, I use that term very loosely because that varies so much between persons. And it's available to you and it's there for you if you need it. Also, you look into what you can do if it's not available or as easy to access as you think when you need it.
Yeah. Yeah. And even in my case, I felt like, you know, I didn't want to go to the hospital so early. And I knew that, right. You know, contractions were going to be painful even, you know, even if I wasn't at 10 centimeters. So I did research a lot about unmedicated birth, even to use in the earlier stages of labor, which I did end up using when I was in my bedroom. I mean, now looking back, I was probably pretty far at that point, but, but yeah, I mean, I just feel like the more informed and educated you can be, just the better in every way. And, you know, like you had said before, I feel like that was a big factor for me in not having fear, was that I just knew as I was going through labor, I knew exactly what part of the process it was. And I was able to say like, okay, this is early labor, you know, this is transition, this is why my body is pushing right now. And, you know, I was able to like, kind of like adjust and just understand it.
Yeah. I remember, isn't it funny? Like, not funny, funny is not the right word. it's interesting how labor works. And I know it's like this by the design, but you have 1 minute of really hard. And then you usually, not all the time, but usually there's 2 to 4, maybe 5 minutes in between the hard. And if you learn how to use those few minutes between contractions in the most optimal way, it really sustains you to get through the rest of it. So like as soon as the contraction's done, ground yourself, get back to deep breathing, that rhythmic thing, sway your hips, do whatever you can to like recenter yourself. And then I always will tell my doula client, when I was doula, I would tell my doula clients, and sometimes I even tell this to birth photography clients when I offer unsolicited advice, because sometimes I just can't keep my mouth shut. You know what I mean? Once a doula, always a doula, I guess. But I say, do whatever you can to get through the minute. And even, it's not even the minute, you get like 10 to 15 seconds of buildup, then like 30 really hard seconds, maybe a little longer. And then like 10 seconds of the gradual down. I used to say build down, not build up. What's the opposite of build down? No, what's the opposite of build up? Release? I don't know.
Sure.
I want to say build down, but that's not. and then release it, let it go, breathe it out, get grounded, centered,
yes.
Squeeze hands, whatever you need to do to take advantage of that time. But I remember when I was going through my first VBAC, I really focused on that. And like between like everyone had to be quiet. And like I was my self-talk, I was in the pool at my house. And like there's 2 midwives there, my doula, my husband, a couple of my best friends. I had a photographer and a videographer. And like everyone was just so quiet and still between contractions. And I was so internal. And I was just like, I like soft forehead, soft jaw, soft forehead, soft jaw. Or I breathe in, breathe out. And then things got intense. And I was like, man, a C-section does not sound so bad right now. Like, but then I would like logic myself through. I'm like, but then I had to get out of the tub and the water's really nice. I'm not getting out of the water. Car ride would be so hard, so uncomfortable. I probably would have my baby in the car anyways by the time I got to the hospital, you know, and then the next contraction would start. And I'd go through that process again, focusing on softening my face, breathing deeply, and logicking myself through it, right? Yeah. Between the contractions. And then that's how you have an unmedicated birth. And I know that's like really, really simplifies it, right? In a way where it's a lot bigger than that. But I mean, it's kind of,
it's the truth, honestly. I mean, before I had my VBAC, I looked at unmedicated birth as if it was this like super complicated, you know, obviously it is hard, but like the hardest thing you could possibly do and super complicated. And you're right. Like now being on the other side of it, I'm like, I just had to get myself through that minute and to the next minute and just keep repeating and repeating and repeating. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I did it. I accomplished it. Not to say that it was easy, but you know, it's really just like staying present and just focusing on that 1 minute until you get the break and then get to the next one. And you know, it's a crazy, crazy, crazy thing, but it's the truth. Your body knows what it's doing. And you know, from, like I said, from listening to all of the stories, I actually felt like I was able to like tap into different things that I remembered and different things that
Yeah.
people said were helpful to them. And I'm like, okay, next one, I'm going to try that. Next one, I'm going to try standing. Next one, I'm going to try doing this. And, you know, whether it worked or not, it got me to the next one.
Yeah, I love that. And isn't that such as life? I feel like, gosh, so many analogies about birth and life. Like it's just so intricately like tied together in that way. And I mean, it's how you get through life. You got to ride the hard parts and appreciate and enjoy and soak in when it's not hard and ride it until the end. Well, I guess until you die. So let's not like make this morbid, but whatever. It's fine. Way to end it on a high note, Julie.
Well, I know.
Anyways.
And I will say, I think too, like after having my C-section and experiencing that hard, an unmedicated VBAC hard, like it was still so challenging, but in a different and more positive way for me anyway. And I think like that's something that I feel like is really incredible for all VBAC moms is that I think we just have a crazy appreciation of like what our bodies can do. And even though it's challenging and painful at times, just so happy to be in the process, even if it doesn't end in a successful, you know, successful VBAC. Like even if you labored and you still had to have another C-section for whatever reason, like you're just so appreciative of even going through the process and even getting to experience your body doing that.
Yeah, it's a really neat experience. And you're right. Like at the end, you just feel so like powerful and empowered and strong. It's just the hardest hard followed by the highest high. It's just really, really neat. Cool. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining me here today. I'm
Thank
what a
you.
great story. I absolutely love your story. I love all of these stories. And I am sure you're going to be inspiring to a lot of people. And I just love so much that we got to chat today.
Thank you, Julie. It was honestly like the biggest honor to do this and to meet you. And again, just thank you so much for what you were doing for this community and for literally being like the reason that I even thought that I could do this in the first place. You guys completely changed my life in like the best way.
Oh, I love that so much. Thank you. Well, you are strong and you are incredible and you are so inspiring. Thank you. Thank you
Thank
again.
you.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hey, everybody, I just wanted to take a quick sec to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We are so glad that you are here. This community is near and dear to our heart. We love you all so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and review. Our whole team here at the VBAC Link actually gets to see these reviews come in, and it makes our day. A 5-star rating helps us share our podcast and gets these important messages out there. Thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to see you next time.